This morning, we're going to be covering the topic of the fool. In this series on Proverbs, these are the topics we covered thus far. You'll notice the first lesson was on acquiring wisdom. And maybe we actually should have started with the fool, because in Proverbs, Solomon contrasts the wise and the fool, wisdom and foolishness. So I've kind of held off in covering it, but we're going to cover it today. And this is going to be our outline for this morning. I want to give a brief introduction. Then I want to cover 15 facts about the fool. And then give some urgent counsel at the end. The last two classes on the chastening of the Lord and trusting in the Lord, we looked at just one verse. And we kind of opened up that verse for 45 minutes. Good morning, brother. But today we're going to kind of do an overview. We're going to skim over about 30 plus verses. They're short verses, they're pithy, and they're under these 15 different headings. And when we look at Proverbs, as I mentioned in one of the earlier classes, we're really looking at God's law kind of reiterated and put in a different way. You know, there's the Ten Commandments on stone, there's God's law. And then in Proverbs, Solomon kind of mixes those laws up in a way that's pithy and easy to understand. And then even in the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus Christ giving us the Beatitudes, which is really God's law, God's an understanding of God's mind, his heart. The law is God's heart. And so as we look at the scriptures, we're really looking at the heart of God, the law of God, his will for our lives. So let's dig right into it. First, by way of introduction, the contrast between the fool and the wise can be looked at as between those in Adam and those in Christ. All of us are born in Adam. We're born with a sinful nature. And when we're converted, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we're converted, we begin to become the wise man, and we grow and we're sanctified as we grow in wisdom. So as you listen to these 15 facts about the fool, if you're converted, it still applies to you. Why is that? Because we have remaining sin, right? Sin dwells within us. And though we have the beginning of wisdom, if we fear the Lord, our whole lives we need to grow in this wisdom. So even though you might not be the fool, as described in Proverbs, you and I both have to grow in our sanctification. So this lesson has something for everyone. It has something for the fool, and it even has something for those that are wise in Christ, so that we can learn better what the Lord requires of us. We have enemies. The law of God is not static. It's not like math and science. The law is there, it's fixed, but we're trying to apply the law to our lives with three great enemies, with Satan, indwelling sin, and the world. And this is why we need to be reminded as Christians of God's law and of these proverbs, so that we can grow and fight these enemies. Also, we need to know that when we're dealing with the fool, we're dealing with mental attitude or morals. We're not dealing with academics and intellectual ideas. You could have someone very smart, a physicist, a doctor. He's very smart academically and intellectually, but he still could be a fool, because the wise and the fool has to do with attitude, mental attitude, and morals. So we need to keep that in mind. You might be brilliant. You might have three PhDs and still be a fool. So this applies for all of us. And then finally, a lot of commentators, when they look at the fool, they show this progression. The Proverbs talk about the simple, the fool, and then the scoffer. And there's a progression. Children are born in sin, and foolishness is bound up in their hearts. And we might say, when we're young, we're simple, we're naive. And if that's not checked, if that's not stopped, then the simple will become the fool. And if that's not stopped, if you're the fool and you're not checked and you don't repent of that and change, you'll become the scoffer. So there's this progression. But we're going to focus on the fool today. And I say, parents, beware, because parents, you have an opportunity to check the naive, check the simple, so that your child won't grow to be a fool, or God forbid, a scoffer. Okay, so we'll start with the first fact to ponder about the fool. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. That's the first fact I want us to look at. And we have two verses. I picked two or three verses with each of these 15 facts. So foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. Psalm 51:5, David says this, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So everyone born into this world is born with a sinful nature. We come from the womb with a sinful nature. And this sinful nature tends towards foolishness. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now this word bound, I looked up in the thesaurus, this word bound means attached, connected, fastened to, tied to, joined to, united to. So God's holy word tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So this is God's work, God's way. God's work, God's way. If we don't check our children between the ages of 1 and 5 with their foolishness and their naivete, then what's bound up in their heart is going to stay there as they grow older. And what is the prescription the Bible gives us to help separate the foolishness from the heart of the child? What's the prescription in this verse? The rod of correction. And in our days today, in modern times, the rod of correction is something that's not often used. I think it's just a sign of the times. It wasn't that way 50, 60 years ago. But in modern times, it seems to be that the culture doesn't trust the word of God. But we need to trust the word of God. If we're going to stop the simpleton becoming the fool and then becoming the scoffer, we must do God's work, God's way. Now, obviously, this is regulated by love and wisdom, okay? But I think this is something that we need to, it's a way we need to love our children, because the Bible tells us that foolishness is bound up in their heart. And the only thing that's going to separate that foolishness from the heart is discipline. Okay, the second fact to ponder regarding the fool, fools refuse to listen. They refuse to listen. And we'll look at two verses in Proverbs. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. No regard, not interested, because you disdain my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. So wisdom's calling to the fool, but the fool refuses to listen to wisdom's voice. This is our human nature. We want to listen to our own voice. Also, Proverbs 8. Now therefore, listen to me. This is wisdom speaking to all of us, speaking to the fool. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for happy, blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Happy is the man who listens to me. Happy is the man who listens to wisdom. watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life. So you're going to be blessed, you're going to be happy, and you're going to find life. And you're going to obtain favor from the Lord. When you hear that word favor, what comes to your mind? What word comes to your mind? God's grace. God's grace. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So if we don't listen to wisdom, we wrong our own soul. And we actually love death when we don't listen to wisdom. This is the word of the Lord here. And number three, the fool hates instruction and hates knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They reject it. They don't want it. They hate it. Instead of God's wisdom, they want their own foolishness. They hate instruction. The fool hates knowledge. Proverbs 5:12-13. Here's a lament about the fool. Now this is the fool after he succumbed to the lips of the immoral woman that dripped with honey. Her mouth was smoother than oil. If and when you give in to her temptation, at last you're going to say this: how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. The fool says, now I'm undone with shame. Now I'm a fornicator indeed, not just in my thoughts. Why have I hated knowledge? Now, Solomon is teaching his son here. And most of you are grown adults. So what value does this have for you? Well, many of you are grandparents and parents. Many of you interact with young children, and foolishness is bound up in their heart. And we all need to hear this and be reminded of this, and we need to give this to our children so that they don't hate instruction, so they don't have this lament. So next, the fool resists reproof. They don't want correction. The fool doesn't want to be corrected. Proverbs 1:30. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. The fool thinks he knows everything, and he's not teachable because he hates instruction and he despises correction. Do you despise correction? Do you hate it when you're corrected? Or do you welcome it so that you can check your foolishness and grow in wisdom? We're supposed to receive instruction, receive reproof, not reject it. Also, Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Stupid is a synonym of the fool. So if your child hates instruction, they're stupid, according to the Bible. How do you respond to correction? Husbands and wives, do you get defensive? Do you get defensive? Do you have a knee-jerk reaction full of pride and protecting yourself? Do you hate correction? Well, the Bible wants us to be humble and receive correction. Remember, our children learn most by our example more than they learn from our words. So if mom and dad aren't receiving reproof and correction from one another, that's a lesson to our children that are watching. Even if you share the Proverbs with them every morning, they're going to learn more by what you do than by what you say. Number five, the fool lacks discernment. The fool lacks discernment. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. The fool lacks discernment. Do you have an insatiable desire for that which is sinful? Do you find yourself going back again and again and again to pornography? You're lacking discernment. Now, I'm not saying that you're unsaved, but you're drifting towards foolishness, to joy in folly. To joy in folly, that's what you're doing. You're taking joy in the sin. The fool not only practices ungodly foolishness, he or she takes joy in it. The fool has an appetite for sin. He obeys it in its lust, contrary to what the Apostle Paul said. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. To do evil is to do something wicked or wrong by yourself or with or to another person. Being cruel or putting pain onto another person is perverse and evil. Christians are to be kind, tender-hearted, and sympathetic. Only fools make sport of evil. Do you mock sin? Our society today mocks sin. They mock sin. They parade in their transvestite and homosexual parades. And even in our universities, they revel in their atheism. And they mock it. We should never mock sin. We should look at sin the way God looks at sin. And God is holy. And if you want to know how God feels about sin, look at the cross. That's how God sees sin. He's just and holy. If you're a Christian, you look to the cross. If you're not a Christian, you look to eternal damnation and hell. That's what God thinks about sin. So we should not be like the fool. To do evil is a sport to the fool. Number six, the fool is easily seduced and enticed into sin. Proverbs 5 says, "For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he's caught in the cords of his sin." Notice that phrase, he ponders all his paths. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord see everything that we do. The mind of the Lord knows everything we think. This is what it means to live in the fear of the Lord, to live in the reality of who God is. Practical atheism is the root of human sin. If we would only believe our Bibles that God sees and knows all things, it would check us in our foolishness. I'm not going to read this whole passage, but I want to highlight some of the things I put in bold here. This is where the man walks towards the seductress house. He's simple. It says here that he took the path to her house. He took the path. So he's drifting to her house. And she's wearing the attire of a harlot. Now, a wise man who sees a woman dressed like a harlot, that's going to tell him something, isn't it? I need to turn. But this man was a fool. He drifted towards the woman dressed like a harlot. And then later on in verse 18, it says, "Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home." She's married? I thought she was just a harlot. She's married? That's like a warning light. You better turn away from that. My husband's not home. He's gone on a long journey. And with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. That's what the fool does. Like an ox being led to the slaughter. I'm not a farmer, but I've seen cows and oxen be led. It's easy, right? They just follow. And that's what the fool does to this immoral woman. Like an ox to the slaughter, they're easily led astray by this seductress woman. And it might not be a real live woman. It might be one on the computer. Don't be like a dumb ox. Don't play the fool. Know that God ponders the paths and he sees all that we do. And you know what? God wants us to be truly happy. The sexual desire that you're trying to fulfill by going down that wrong path, he has God's work, God's way. He has a method to satisfy that. It's being committed to one woman for life or one man for life. He wants you to fulfill that. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be thrilled. And he's provided a way. But we're to do God's work, God's way. Number 7, the fool loves to party. He loves to revel in wrongdoing. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright is favor. There will be no mocking of sin beyond the grave, just hopeless torments. Is hell something to mock? The wages of sin is death and hell. How does God feel when we sin? We said earlier to look at the cross and to look at eternal damnation. God is holy, but God wants us to be happy. Jesus laid out the Beatitudes of how we can be happy. And here's Solomon laying out the way to be wise and to be blessed, to be truly happy. 26:11 says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. I know this isn't the most, it's not the nicest picture here, but God's word uses it. And I'd like us to think about it for a minute. To see a dog lick and lap up and eat and swallow its own vomit would cause all of us in here to turn away with disgust. Would it not? It's gross. Would we be as disgusted with sin? Would that we might abhor our sin the way we abhor watching that dog lick its vomit. We need to turn from sin the way we would turn from that dog licking its vomit. That's how dangerous sin is. Sin leads to death. Sin always tends towards destruction. And God's law brings happiness for the Christian. The fool is also proud. He's proud. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. I'm always right. Don't tell me what to do. This is the thought of a fool. But he who heeds counsel is wise. He who heeds counsel is wise. The eyes of God is what really matters, not your own eyes. Your own eyes is not what's important. God's eyes are important. He sees the fool for what he really is. Proverbs 26, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Wisdom begins with fear of the Lord. And the Lord has infinite wisdom. There's more hope for the fool than for the one who knows himself to be one. That means there's more hope for the fool who knows himself to be one than there is for the one who thinks he's wise in his own eyes. Hopefully this class this morning is going to help you say, I'm a fool. I do these things and I don't want to be a fool. I want to be wise. Well, the first step in becoming wise is recognizing that we're a fool. That's how we can remedy this situation. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he might become wise. Now, all of us have played the fool because we're born in sin. Foolishness was bound up in our heart when we were born. And we all are on a path if we're Christians, to ultimate glorification. But while we're here in this earth, we need to rid ourselves of this foolishness. Amen? Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you hate evil? Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So it says here that God hates the proud. He hates pride. That means he loves what? What's the opposite of being proud? Humility. He loves humility. You and I were made by God. And when God made us, he used the dust of the ground to make us. He used the dust of the ground to make us. But he is eternal, he's all-powerful, and he's infinite in wisdom. So for us to be prideful is just completely antithetical to what reality is. We're made by him from the dust. And this eternal God who has all power and infinite wisdom sees our foolishness and sees our sin and sends his son to die on a cross for us, to redeem us, to call us back. What a glorious God we have. Number 9, the fool loves to fight. He loves to argue. Do you like to fight and argue? The fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. Somebody punch me. Somebody punch me, the fool says. The fool's mouth is his own destruction. Some Christians even use the truth and Bible doctrines to strive and argue, throwing their pearls before pigs. We should quench the first rising of contention. We must not strive, but we must be peaceable, the Lord says. The way Jesus was. Proverbs 17, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. It's like a dam burst open. Therefore, stop contention before the quarrel starts. Don't even let that water dam break. Stop it before the water releases. Otherwise, it's going to be like out of control. James uses fire. Solomon uses water, but James uses fire. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Truly, it is wise to stop the evil at the beginning. And I have here a note on my notes here. Husband, wives, siblings, and friends. I know sometimes I get in stupid arguments with my wife. And I just, once it gets started, it's like, I got to finish. I got to win this thing. Why? Why do we do that? The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Be humble. Siblings, do you fight with one another over stupid things? Don't do that. You're playing the fool when you do that. Number 10, anger without cause. The fool is angry without cause. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is known at once, immediately. He's easily angered. The fool has no restraint. He's bringing shame to himself. This is how Saul was towards David. Remember how easily provoked Saul was to David? Do you have a temper that way? Do you lose self-control? Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit, but to be easily angered is to be a fool. And I'm preaching to myself as I'm preaching to you, as my wife could attest. Proverbs 25, whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Now, this is in ancient times, so we live in modern times, but in ancient times, you need to have a wall around your city because there were other kingdoms that could come and fight against you, and the wall was your protection. The wall was your protection. Wherever there is no rule of his spirit, you lack a wall. You're broken down without walls. Pride is first in our heart before it's expressed in our behavior. Temptations must not be indulged long, or they become occasions of sin. Anger, left unchecked, leads to murder. Our hearts must be guarded or will be without defense against sin. Number 11, speech without profit. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. He's quick, knee-jerk, immediate. That's the fool. The wise man or woman is slow to speak, thoughtful and gracious and caring. In the mouth of the fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Notice the mouth there. The mouth is the instrument of sin. So the mouth is the instrument, and the sin is pride. Romans 6:13 says this, and do not present your members as instruments of sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That verse in Romans 6:13 is a good remedy for foolishness. If we're busy using our members as instruments of righteousness to God, we won't be using them for foolishness. Idleness is the devil's workshop. Sometimes the best defense is a good offense. If we're about serving others, if we're about using our members for righteousness, we won't have time to be fools. Next is number 12. The fool is a grief to his parents. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. How sad. Children are to be a joy, not a grief. So how can we avoid this, grieving fathers and bitter mothers? How can we avoid this? Well, we get them young. We train them young. I was listening to a sermon by Brian Borgman. He said that he had trouble with his daughter when she was young. She liked to sleep. And he couldn't get her out of bed. So he took her to the Proverbs. And evidently his daughter must have been very, very sensitive, because he took her to Proverbs and showed her that the sluggard will end up in poverty. He said, you're going to end up a bag lady. She knew what a bag lady, she's seen bag ladies before, pushing their carts around, and she got scared. She said, Daddy, I don't want to be a bag lady. And he said, after that, she never had any problem getting out of bed. Now, not all children are sensitive like that. I remember my wife having the same problem, and I remember walking in to my son's bedroom because he screamed, and I noticed she had an empty glass of water that was poured on his head. So our children weren't quite as malleable as Pastor Borgman. But get them while they're young. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is wise or prudent. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. You know, that last verse, 15:20, for a foolish man to despise his mother. Notice it says foolish man. It doesn't say foolish boy. But your mother nursed you. Your mother changed your diapers. Your mother loved you and provided for all your needs. And now you're despising her. You fool. You absolute fool. You are out of control. You need the grace of God. You need the grace of God. And I'm preaching to myself. I could tell you stories of how I broke my mom's heart. And I thank God for the grace that he poured upon me. So I come back to this. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. I'm afraid that there's still some here that are like, yeah, I see that, the rod of correction. I know, but I have another way. I have another way. Well, this verse in Proverbs 27, 22 says, though you grind a fool in a mortar with pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. So when he's simple and young, if you don't use the rod of correction to drive the foolishness away, when he's older, you can grind him like grain in a pestle. You can crush him and you won't separate the foolishness from his heart. It's too late. When you put grain in one of those heavy bowls and you crush it, you're trying to separate the good stuff from the chaff. Well, you won't be able to separate the foolishness from this child if you wait. You must use the rod of correction while they're young to drive it far from them with love and with wisdom. With love and with wisdom. Number 13, the fool is destructive and wasteful. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. My goal today is for us to feel odious when it comes to sin and foolishness. And I want us to feel sweet attraction to wisdom and to happiness, the Lord's way. And this is the purpose of the Word of God. God loves us so much that he didn't just put it on a stone and write 10, but he had Solomon write it in the Proverbs. Then he had Jesus preach it in the Beatitudes. Like, he's trying to get to us in every possible way to let us know the way to happiness. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Do you squander your time? Do you squander your energy? Do you squander opportunities that come and then go and then they're lost? Do you squander your relationships? Do you want to marry a godly man or a godly woman? Then don't squander your time, because that godly man or woman you want to marry wants to marry a godly man or woman. So use your time. Don't be wasteful. This is interesting here. This needs no comment. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling. I had to think about that for a minute because I don't live in ancient days. But I guess if you take the stone and you bind it to the leather patch and then you try to throw that thing, what's going to happen? Boing! You're going to get hit in the head. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. A dog returns to its own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Are you doing the same sin over and over and over again? Cry out to the Lord. He selects bad friends, he or she. The fool selects bad friends. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be what? Destroyed. I remember when I was in college playing football, there was a man I played football with, a young man that I played football with. I was a wide receiver. He was a wide receiver. And the next year in the fall when we started football again, he wasn't there. As all the receivers are doing their drills, five or six of them, he was gone. Because he got in a car with a drunk driver and he was killed. And stories like that happen all the time. You pick the wrong friend who leads you astray, and it leads to destruction, just like this proverb says. My son, If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Come on with us. Let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot far from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Forsake foolishness and live. Live the life of the wise man who's happy, who's blessed, and go in the way of understanding. If one thing that you get for this morning, I hope you get this. Wise equals happy. Foolishness equals misery. Who doesn't want to be happy? We all want to be happy, right? Well, number 15, the last one. The fool ultimately rejects the Lord and refuses to trust in the Lord. Because I have called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock the mocker, God says. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. How can I read this in a monotone way? The information that's coming here is so serious. They would have none of my counsel and despised every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Stop being complacent. Deal with your sin. But whoever listens to me, that's wisdom. Whoever listens to wisdom, and who's the wisdom of God? The Bible teaches us the wisdom of God is Jesus. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Now, I started with verse 24, but I'm going to go back to verse 23 here. Turn at my rebuke, says wisdom. Surely, I love this, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Now it's not about what you're supposed to do. Now it's what God's going to do. If you turn, he doesn't say, I will pour out my spirit. He says, surely I will pour out my spirit. And I will make my words known to you. Jesus calls the fools to come unto me and I will give you rest. Fear God and begin down the path of wisdom. Now, we only have about 2 minutes left. I'm not going to be able to go through all these urgent counsels, but let me encourage you with this. I've used this before, this psalm. I love this psalm. It shows us the heart of God and his mercy. We must daily cry out for help. If you look at the bottom of this, it says, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Those who watch for the morning, those on the wall that watch for the morning, they do it morning after morning after morning. And he says, more than those who watch for the morning. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Not me. Not me. and not you. We can't stand. If he marked our iniquities, we couldn't stand. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. Day after day, morning after morning, the word is what's going to keep us wise. The word. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their iniquities. I just wanted to end with this one thing from Augustine. We'll stop after this. Augustine, he personifies God's word as a nurturing mother. And listen to what he says. He says, this is the nurturing mother or the word of God. Go on making progress by walking more slowly with scripture at your side. Where she does not desert your weakness, but matches her steps to yours in motherly fashion. For she speaks, you see, in such a way that she mocks the proud by her transcendence, by her sublimity, fills the attentive with awe at her wisdom, and feeds the mature with her truthfulness, fosters the little ones with her kindliness. So the word of God mocks the proud, fills the attentive, feeds the mature, and fosters the little ones. Truthfulness and kindness and wisdom and perfection is found in the word of God. Jesus is the Logos, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We need the word of God, not just on Sunday, but every day. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, every single one of us in this room was born with foolishness bound up in our hearts. We were conceived in sin. And some of us have been rescued from that sin. You've come to us and you've quickened our hearts. Father, we pray for any among us that are yet still in the land of the fools. We pray that you would give them the fear of the Lord. We pray that you would open the eyes of their heart, cause them to see the hope and the redemption and the mercy and the love found in Jesus Christ. We pray now that you would help us in the coming hour to glorify Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.